Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. While in seminary, students taking Hebrew were asked to attend a synagogue service where we would hear Hebrew being spoken and sung. Now, I had never been to a synagogue service before, and I was a little nervous, didn't know quite what to expect. Kind of figured that there were going to be some rules of what to do during worship that I didn't know about, and nobody likes to feel awkward for that way. For example, I know that I didn't have a yarmulke, one of those hats that men wear, but I didn't know if the synagogue required it, and when I got there, I found out they did, but they were very visitor-friendly, and they had paper yarmulkes for people just like me. And I find out, you know, when you think about it, churches have all sorts of rules as well. Now, here at Peace, we welcome all from any church denomination to come to communion, but that's not true in every denomination. Many denominations require you to be a member of that denomination before you come up for communion, and that can be kind of embarrassing if you try to do that without having gotten permission first. We like to know the rules, so you know we just don't look stupid, I guess. And I bring this up because in the lesson we're talking about a scribe. And a scribe's function, his job, was to teach what all the rules in the law of Moses were. There were 613 commandments, or mitzvahs, that covered not only justice and morality, but also charity and worship. And a teacher of the law, which is what a scribe was, they had to know all of those. And they had to know how to keep them in any situation, because people wanted to know what God's rules were and didn't want to step over the line. But what makes the scribe in this story special from all the other scribes we've met in the gospel really are two things. One, he was an independent thinker. I mean, he didn't run with the crowd, especially with all the others who were there shooting Jesus questions that day and trying to catch him and trap him. So he formed his own opinions about who Jesus was. And I believe his first opinion was Jesus was sharp. He listened as Jesus answered well all the tests and challenges and traps that people kept trying to get him to fall into that day. And he was so impressed by Jesus' ability that he decided to ask him his own question, which was not a trap, but a sincere question that I think he had been pondering for quite some time. He asked, "Which of the commandments is the greatest?" And Jesus answered, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And here's what the scribe did. Only one all day that did this. He told Jesus that he was right. I think that by itself makes him special. But what makes this guy really special is that he took Jesus' answer one step farther. He not only said, "You're right, Jesus," but he said that loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourselves is much more important than all the burnt sacrifices and offerings. And he said this while standing on the temple grounds, where there was all the offerings and burnt sacrifices were going, taking place. In fact, there was a whole industry built up around the temple to accommodate that. I mean, what he said was taking a leap that most scribes would not be willing to take, especially not there in a public way. And so Jesus responded to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So, this is a special scribe here. And you got to understand that there are a lot of commandments about the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Those were part of the laws as well. But something, and they were part of the commandments meant to help people connect better with God in their lives. But this scribe had been watching, like he said, an independent thinker, and he knew that people were, all people, are quite capable of just going through the motions of appearing religious, doing the bare minimum of what the rules require you to do. But in his heart of hearts, he knew that God wanted more than just people who kept the rules at a bare minimum, that God desires our hearts, that God desires to be in a heart-to-heart relationship with us. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I got to thinking about it. What does a genuine heart-to-heart relationship with God look like? And I was thinking, I'm not even sure I have a starting point, so I changed the thought to this. What does it look like when we love anyone with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Okay? So this is where I want you to participate, not out loud, but I want you to think of someone in your life that you love like that, with all your heart and all your soul and mind and strength. Maybe it's a best friend. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a spouse. And I want you to keep that person in mind, because I came across a random article posted by the Cleveland Clinic of signs that you are in a healthy relationship. I could have probably taken any article and that we're describing healthy relationships, but I picked five of these to share with you this morning, and just to see if they line up with how you would describe your relationship with this special person. Number one, you both know what it means to respect each other. Yeah. Two, when the going gets tough, you find a way to communicate. Number three, you're both committed to the relationship. Number four, you enjoy each other's company and you support each other's goals. And number five, you're good at making decisions together. That assumes some communication skills in there as well. Definitely. Now, hopefully, when you're thinking about this person I asked you to think about, you can check several of those boxes that are describing that relationship. So kind of get a feel for what it means to be in a relationship where you're all in. Now, let's go back through that same list and see if it could also describe the relationship you have with the God who claims you at baptism. Do you both know? How should we say it this way? Do you respect the God who has claimed you? And when the going gets tough, do you still reach out to him to communicate and to pray? And are you committed to that relationship? And do you enjoy being in God's company and supporting God's goals, which is what we pray for when we say, thy kingdom come? And you're good at making decisions when you do it together. Now, I'm making that comparison just for two reasons. First of all, for this, is simply just to make the point that God is in a relationship with us, with each one of us. And it makes sense for us to use relationship language when we're talking about God. But the second thing is with that list to illustrate that maybe you, just maybe you and I are on the right track when it comes to loving God with all our heart and soul and mind. We don't do it perfectly, but there maybe were some of those points on there that you can say, I do love God like that. I do turn to him when the going gets tough. I am committed to this relationship. But But, and this is the most important part of what I have to say this morning, regardless of how well you succeed on that list in the loving God department or even the loving neighbor department, what is rock solid is God's love for you. And if I would go through that list again, from God's point of view, you'll find out that God does respect you and your decisions, even if that decision does not include a relationship with God. That when life gets tough for you, God is certainly going to find a way to reach out and communicate with you, even if you're not communicating with Him. That God is fully committed to this relationship with you, which is what the cross was all about. God is all in. And that God, believe it or not, enjoys your company. He created you. And He's especially fond of you. And lastly, God will always be there as a guide and resource when you're making these decisions that you make through life. Thinking back to that scribe, that teacher of the law, who knew all the rules, but I think he also had a sense of God's love for him. And he had a yearning to love God in return with all his heart and mind and soul and strength. He did have a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like, where love reigns supreme, and now we do too. After all the rules that you encounter at a place of worship, they're just there to help us get the most out of the experience. But the relationship we have with God is never about the rules. It's about God. It's all about the promise that God has begun this relationship with us. It's all about the love that God has for you, which has always been at the very heart of it all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.